Yeah. There are no unknown soldiers in the army of the Lord. He knows them all by name. Would you stand with me as we read from the scripture together this morning? I want you to turn, if you would please, to Exodus chapter number 28. Somewhere I have misplaced my... Oh, here they are. I've gone. I almost lied to you. I thought I misplaced my reading glasses. Exodus chapter 28. I want to read with you one verse this morning. Verse number 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Pray with me, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought this morning. There are no unknown soldiers in the name of the Lord, in the army of the Lord. You know them all by name. Dear God, as we reflect today about the cost of our great freedom, Lord, as we think back over the years, the missing military, some of them we don't even know their names, who have died in conflicts that America has been involved in over the centuries. In Washington, D.C., there's a tomb to the unknown soldier. Lord, there is no such tomb for the Christian soldier. You know all of their names. None of them are missing in action. And so, God, today as we reflect upon the past, about things that you have told us to remember, let us hallow this day, this weekend. Let us dedicate it to the price that was paid for our freedom as American citizens and as our liberation from sin by Jesus Christ, who took our place on the cross so that we could be free from the bondage of sin. Help us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much, and be seated. If you would, please, I thought that you might appreciate that video. It's been some time since we have shown that. The reality today is that it's easy to forget the things that we enjoy. It's easy to take for granted the worship that we freely have in America. We can move about freely in our society. We can drive from state to state in this country without using passports or checkpoints. We can watch television programs that fully engage the free speech clause. We can enjoy hot dogs and hamburgers on Memorial Day. And the reality is, if we're not careful, we'll forget. We'll forget about the great price that was paid for our freedom. And I'm not against hamburgers and hot dogs. We'll enjoy them tonight together in fellowship as we come together as a church. So I'm not against that. But Memorial Day is so much more. It's about remembering. Maybe that's why our forefathers erected monuments to remind its citizens of the sacrifice that was made. In many towns of America, there are monuments that are obvious to those who pass by. We're used to monuments in New Mexico. In the past, during the Civil War and other wars that our country fought, there were various forts that were formed in New Mexico for various functions, and there are memorials made in remembrance of those. If you've been in Angel Fire, you no doubt have seen the monument there dedicated to those who lost their life in Vietnam. It's a reminder of the great price that was paid for freedom. In New York City, we have the Freedom Tower that was erected to remind us of the 3,000 that were lost in New York City on that day, 9/11/2001. All because there are people who hate America. And the reality is, if we're not vigilant, we'll forget. And so we need days of memorial. These are opportunities to remind us of the great price that was paid for our freedom. God knows that we are a forgetful people. So God wants us to remember certain things. And so God cautioned his people in Moses' day. Turn, if you would please, with me in the scripture to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. And I want to plug in at verse number 19. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 19. Moses is writing, and he says in the 19th verse, "And it shall be that if thou at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify you against this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." If God would do that to his nation, Israel, imagine what he will do to America if we forget God. Israel is the apple of God's eye. There's never been another nation in the history of the world besides Israel and the United States that have ever been so blessed of Almighty God. God wants us to remember. Now, I want you to go back, if you would please, to the book of Exodus, 28th chapter. This time, let's begin to read in verse number 1. God is giving instructions to Moses about the apparel that the priest, and in particular the high priest, will wear when they enter the tabernacle in the wilderness. Notice what he says. "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him," there were four of them, "from among the children of Israel," they were selected by God, "that ye may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar," Aaron's sons. "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." And there is a message right there, and I don't have time to preach that this morning. I would that God's people would look at that. "And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate and an ephod and a robe and a broidered coat and a mitre and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." And so our focus and our attention this morning is on the breastplate. Now, this is not intended to be an in-depth study of the breastplate or the garments of Aaron. that would take some time, and that is a rich study. So that's not the purpose of it this morning, but I do want you to notice some things about this. Verse number 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold and of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine twined linen. Thou shalt make it the very best. Four square shall it be, doubled, a span shall be the length thereof, and the span shall be the breadth thereof. And so it gives us the dimensions that once the breastplate is folded, then it's a span, high and wide. Basically, the length of the tip of your thumb and your middle finger. That's approximately 8.5 inches. But if you spread that a little bit, it'll fully go to 9 inches. And so we have this breastplate that the priest wears, the high priest in particular, as he ministers unto the Lord. And so we're given a description here. It is a beautiful, beautiful item. Verse 16 says, four square shall it be, being doubled, a span shall the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be sardis, and a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, and a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row a liger, and an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. This was a very valuable breastplate. What is the purpose of this? And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name, they shall be according to the 12 tribes. So then engraved in each one of these precious stones is the name of one of the 12 children of Israel. You say, what's that got to do with me this morning? I'm not a Jew. Neither am I. But we have been adopted. That is what the scripture tells us. We have been adopted into the family of God. We are Jews, spiritually speaking, this morning. We are important to God. Why are we important? We are important to God because of His great love and His great sacrifice that He made so that you and I might have eternal life. Not because we're special on our own, because we're not. We're all special today if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because we have been redeemed. We have been saved through the blood of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so what a wonderful thought that is this morning. He goes on to say in verse number, I won't read all the verses for time's sake, but it tells us how the breastplate is attached to the ephod. The golden rings at top, there are rings, golden rings on the upper top side and lower side. And on the top we have gold hooks that hold the breastplate in place. On the bottom half, we have little blue ribbons that hold it in place. Now keep in mind, according to verse number 29, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of the judgment upon his heart, when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. So as the high priest, first it would start with Aaron. Obviously, he would not live forever. Another high priest would be selected. The high priest once a year would go into the Holy Holies on behalf of the people. He would be wearing the breastplate. As he goes before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, he is carrying with him close to his heart the names of the children of Israel. All 12 names. Aaron is interceding on the behalf of the children of Israel. Never forget, God knows your name. There are no unknown soldiers in the army of the Lord. There are no missing in action. He knows your name. What a wonderful thought that is. So even in the act of the work of the priest in the tabernacle, later in the temple, God is remembering his people. As the high priest will work on behalf of the people to serve the Lord God. Only one person was allowed in there each year, and it would be the high priest. What a wonderful thought. As we think about this morning, God remembering, it shows us how important it is for you and I to remember the past. It's been said of a nation that forgets its past is doomed to repeat its failures. That is so, so true. So let's take a look for a moment at the nation of Israel. Did they forget? Well, let's go to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, if you would please, the book of 1 Samuel. And I want to begin to read in chapter 12 and verse number 9. Here in this 12th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel is addressing the nation of Israel. He is reminding them of their past. Notice what he says here in verse number 9. He says, "And when they forgot the Lord their God, he," speaking of God, "sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them." God allowed his enemies to defeat his people. Why? Because they had forgotten the Lord God. They had taken for granted the goodness of God. They had become callous and indifferent towards the things of God, doing whatever they felt like doing. Notice the response in verse number 10. Now notice this doesn't happen instantly like you might think that it did, seeing it in the scripture. There's a long period of time that takes place. Verse number 10. "And they," speaking of the children of Israel, "cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forgotten the Lord, and we have served Baalim and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee." Well, if you know anything about the history of Israel, you know that God forgave them. God once again restored them. God once again breathed life into the nation of Israel. But the reality is, because they forgot Almighty God, they would repeat that over and over and over and over again many, many times throughout their history. And so it is with us today, that many times that we have short memories. And sometimes, regrettably, we fail to teach our children the lessons that we have learned, the things that God has taught us, and we forget to train our children, and then they pay a price. What are you talking about, Brother Don? Well, go with me, if you would please, to Judges this time, if you would. Chapter number 2, the book of Judges, chapter number 2. And let's plug in there, if you would, please. We're going to begin to read in verse number 10. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to verse number 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. As long as Joshua lived, the children of Israel served the Lord. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres and Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Another generation. What happened? They didn't know what God had done for them. They had not been instructed. They did not have that personal experience. It was not passed on to them. And I believe that America has made the same tragic mistake. We have failed to teach our children and our grandchildren the blessings of Almighty God. And over the last 50 or 60 years, we have suffered because we have turned away from the Lord. Little by little, increment by increment, inch by inch. Well, that doesn't matter anymore. That's Old Testament. We're more educated than that today. We're far more sophisticated today than our parents were. And so we fool ourselves into thinking that we can get away with ignoring God. That is tragic. And I'm telling you that if God does not bring revival in America, I fear what is going to happen to America. Now understand, when the Israelites failed to worship the Lord, they worshiped false gods, they got involved in things that they shouldn't have been involved in, God let judgment come upon the nation of Israel. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. God knows how easy it is for us to forget. And there's always a price to pay. First, we repeat the same mistakes that our forefathers made. We turn to the wrong places for the answers. Come on. Psychologists, psychiatrists. We turn to science instead of to God. We turn to false worship instead of the worship of the true God. We turn to the wrong things. We seek solutions in places and programs and people rather than Almighty God. We say this has no relevance for our day. It's antiquated. We no longer live by those rules. We forget what it was that blessed previous generations. And we turn to false gods. And as I look around America today, I see the false god of entertainment. It is prevalent in our society today. If you are an entertainer in America today, your future is bright. Because we want to be entertained. We will pay any price, any cost to be entertained. It's all over our television. It's in our newspapers. Everything revolves around entertainment. Entertain us. It's crept into the church. When we come to church, we want to be entertained. We want a short little 15-minute message telling us how good we are, telling us that we don't need to change. God just loves us the way that we are. Well, part of that is true. God does love you. That's why he sent his son to die for you and for me. Jesus did not come to this world to entertain. Jesus came to this earth to show us our shortcomings, that we needed a Savior. And so we must understand and we must realize that today America is worshiping false gods. What happens is we become comfortable and selfish, our own little world. We become greedy and demanding. We've got a generation coming up today that, boy, the church better do this for me or I am walking out that door. I deserve everything. And let me help you to understand something, those of you who are young this morning. Every generation is responsible for reaching its own generation. My generation is dying off. My influence is only going to last for a little while. So the next generation must step up, must lift the standard high, must proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the only thing that will make a difference in the life of people. They need to hear the truth, the word of God. They don't need to hear, God doesn't expect you to change. And God does love you, but he loves you too much to leave you the way he found you. You must understand that. He expects you to become a brand new creature in Christ. Now, does that happen overnight? For most of us, no. For the reality is, it takes us a lifetime most of the times. But we have to be engaged in the process of God changing us to make ourselves like him so that others will see Jesus in us. And so instead of sacrifice, we become greedy. And today's young church says, you better have this, you better have that program, you better have it all set because I deserve it. Now let me help you to understand something. This building did not get built by people with that kind of attitude. This property got built by people who understood sacrifice. They loved God. They gave of their tithes. They gave to the building program so that something could happen on this corner for Almighty God. And so for the younger generation to come along and say, well, the building's built, I guess everything's good. Every generation is responsible for reaching its own generation. Now, does that mean that we can't have influence with our children and grandchildren? Absolutely not. But the responsibility passes from generation to generation. Joshua was responsible for as long as he was alive, but there came a time at the age of 110 that he went home, that he went to paradise. And after that, it no longer was his responsibility. And the next generation came along and just blew it off. They had no idea, they had no clue of the sacrifice, and they didn't care. How sad and how tragic. They became greedy and demanding. They became hateful and unloving. Why did God give those precious stones to the high priest to wear, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, simply as a memorial to remind his chosen people that each person, though different, is very special to God? God wanted man to remember. And God says he will never forget us. We might forget God, but he will never, ever forget us. Turn, if you would please, in the scripture to Isaiah. We're going to look at chapter number 44. in Isaiah in verse number 21. Notice what the Lord says. He says, remember these. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Can you rejoice in that this morning? God will never forget you. God will never leave you behind in the battle. God will always be with you as long as you are serving Him, as long as you are putting Him first in your life. And the reality is, God wants to do something with your life. God is a righteous God. Go with me in the New Testament, if you would please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. And I want to look at verse number 10 for just a moment. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Notice what the writer of the book of Hebrews says. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, back in the Old Testament, not just anybody could be a priest. They had to be of the tribe of Levi. They had to be a descendant of Aaron in order to serve as a priest in the tabernacle. But today, because Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies once and for all, He has opened for all of us to be priests. That was God's plan from the very beginning. God said when He formed the nation of Israel that they were to be a nation of priests. God wanted every child of His to be a priest. But because of sin, they could not. And He narrowed it down to one tribe, the tribe of Levi. They were the only tribe that had the privilege of serving the Lord. But we today, in grace, can serve Jesus Christ as a priest. Notice what it says. Let's go back to verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So it is the job of every child of God to minister to the saints, not just a select few. We are all to minister. And when we do it in His name, we are doing it as unto the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? Did not Jesus say that one of these days we're going to be rewarded for the things that we did in this body while we were here upon this earth? Did He not say in the Scripture, that is, if you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. There is not anyone within the children of God that we are not to minister to. Every child of God is valuable. And I know we have our favorites. Oh boy, there's some that are just a lot easier to minister to than others. And we enjoy that. And we don't mind that. But boy, sometimes there's some that are just... Some people just grate us the wrong way. But the reality is we have the responsibility as children of God, as priests of God, to minister to the saints. We are to minister to one another. Let me ask you a question this morning. How are you ministering in the house of God to the children of God. Let me just give you a clue. To minister, you got to show up. It's kind of hard to minister from afar off. It just is. Maybe we should let that speak to our hearts a little bit. And sometimes when we grumble and complain about, I got to do this and I got to do that. It's Sunday, I got to go to church. Let me straighten out your theology this morning. You don't have to go to church, you get to go to church. Serving Jesus Christ is a privilege. We ought to look forward to being in the house of God to minister to one another. We are priests. We've been called by Jesus Christ to serve one another. And he's going to reward us if we'll do that. Jesus said you can't give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward. God wants you serving in his kingdom. God wants you living for him. God knows how forgetful we are. And so those precious jewels that the Old Testament priest wore were to cover his heart, reminding him continually that God's heart or God's people were always on his heart. He loved them deeply and he cared for them. Isaiah again, if you would please, to the Old Testament. The book of Isaiah, this time chapter 43 and verse number 4. Chapter 43 and verse number 4. For I am the Lord thy God and the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Wait a minute, that's the wrong verse. Excuse me, let me look again here. Isaiah 43. Am I in the right chapter? The verse I'm looking for tells us that we are precious and honored in the sight of the Lord. Okay, I read the wrong verse. Okay, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. God loves us this morning. Can we show love and gratitude back to God? You see, there's never a time in the history of the church when any generation can just sit down and say, you know, I just want to be fed. I just want my needs taken care of. I want my program. And if you don't offer it, I'll go somewhere else where somebody will. Let me just help you out a little bit. Church is not about you. It's not. It's about others. About reaching others. It's about serving others. So we can't ever say it's somebody else's job. That job belongs to another generation, not to mine. And I fear for the church as I look at younger generations. If something doesn't change, God's work will suffer. And not only will God's work suffer, but so will our nation. You think things are bad now? And they are. Because in the 60s, we told God, get out of we don't want you in the schools. You're not welcome here. Well, how's that worked out? Back in the 50s and the 60s, when prayer was in school, did you ever hear about a school shooting? Our schools have become war zones. And why has that happened? Because we sat by and did nothing. And now we're suffering the consequences. You look around the world today, and I say shame on the Irish people. Shame, 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 shame. I have Irish roots. And my countrymen have said, we want legalized abortion. How sad. How tragic. How tragic. The life of innocent babies has no regard in Europe, in America, and for all these years, how many millions have been slaughtered because they weren't convenient. The black community has pushed father out of the home, and then they wonder why there's so much crime in the black community. Let me suggest to you, it's because dad's not there. How sad. How tragic. We have forgotten. In conclusion, in America, there are memorials in many towns of the bloodiest war ever fought on our soil, the Civil War. Over 600,000 died in that conflict. What is often not known about the North and the South is that in the early portion of the war, they allowed substitute soldiers. What does that mean? That means that if a wealthy man got drafted, North or South, he could actually purchase someone to take his place. And most of the time, it meant that that person was going to lose their life. 600,000. 600,000 people died in the Civil War. Then finally, after 1863, in the South in particular, they did away with that policy because there were not enough men. In the North, they would hire immigrants coming off the boat into America to take their place. And that eventually ended. Imagine someone taking your place, dying for you, to save you. And my friend, that is exactly what Jesus Christ did. That is exactly what Jesus did. He paid the price for our sin so that we do not have to face it. How wonderful of a Savior we have. He didn't go to the cross because he was a sinner. He went to the cross for your sins and for mine so that we might have eternal life. And when you ask Jesus into your heart, your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. He will never, ever forget you. Because you, by faith, invited Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive you of your sins and to save your soul. Jesus took your place. He was our substitute. He was our atonement, our propitiation. That is what the Bible says. We were guilty. And he has forgiven us of our sins if we by faith have just simply invited him to come into our heart. In closing this morning, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. May we never forget that. May we never, never, ever forget the horrific price that was paid for the purchase of our soul on the cross of Calvary. Never forget. Jesus died for you. Will you live for Him? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. As we have a moment of prayer, Heavenly Father, oh God, we're so callous. We're so selfish sometimes. We just, Lord, forgive us. We get so self-centered in life. No wonder our country and our nation's in the shape that it is, when many times Christians are so preoccupied with other things of the world than your church. Many have forgotten the price that you paid. Many have taken that for granted. They've considered it a small thing. Oh God, shake us up today. Move in our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. May we never forget the great sacrifice that Jesus paid on Calvary. May we never forget the great price that others paid so that we might have freedom. Dear God, if we take those things for granted, one day we won't have them. All because we were indifferent. All because we forgot. We forgot our great Savior Jesus. We forgot those that died in our place. We forgot those that made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could live. Help us today as we stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Spirit of the living God, I pray, dear God, that you'll move up and down the aisles today, that you will speak to hearts of individuals. If someone here today is not saved and doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they'll come today and invite Jesus to come into their heart, just in simple childlike faith. Become as a little child, inviting Jesus into their heart. I pray, dear God, that you speak to the hearts of Christians today, that you would break through that callous attitude that we bear many times. We get so self-centered, so preoccupied, that we forget what you've done. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to serve you. Help us to live for you. Help us to minister to one another. Oh, God, speak to the church today. Remind us of what you called us for, the purpose of our life. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake, and as we have a verse of invitation.